Now, President-elect Biden will take office in 6 days. Democrats will take over control of the Senate. Yesterday, the House impeached President Trump on charges of inciting the mob that stormed the Capitol last week. So where does that leave the GOP? 10 House Republicans voted with Democrats on impeachment. And even among those who opposed the measure, many said Trump bears some responsibility. And some even said he has no future in the party. Here's South Carolina first-term Congresswoman Nancy Mace on Fox News yesterday.
And I believe that every accomplishment that Republicans and the president had, and I was a big supporter of the president over the last 4 years and worked for him on his campaign, but I believe that those accomplishments were wiped out. We had a great economy pre-COVID. We had low tax rates. We had Operation Warp Speed during the pandemic. So many enormous gains. I think that the principles and ideas that he espoused are things we're going to have to champion in the future. But without his support, his brand, or his name, it's tarnished. I don't know how you defend what happened last week by any means.
You can join us at 800-642-1234. What do you see as a road ahead for the Republican Party? Should it embrace the Trump brand and the president himself, or should it cut ties with President Trump when he leaves office? If you are a Trump supporter, how do you feel about the Republican Party? If you're a Republican, how do you feel about President Trump? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Stephanie Martin is a professor of political communication at Southern Methodist University. She focuses on conservative movements and evangelical voters. Stephanie, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, 1 week out from this attack on the Capitol, 1 week out from a change of presidency, what do you make of the current state of the Republican Party?
It's, you know, it feels a bit messy, to use, you know, an academic word that I like, messy. And there's big questions laid out before them right now. On the one hand, you know, do they continue with the kind of arch conservatism that started in 2008, so over the past 12 years, that gave rise to the Tea Party and eventually led to Trump? Or do they return to a more traditional Republican politics that we think of when we think of people like George W. Bush or John McCain or even Mitt Romney, who a lot of people were pointing to just a week ago and saying, you know, I like him. I like what he said. I like, you know, that the way you respect voters is you tell them the truth. So, right. Which Republican Party will the real Republican Party please stand up is the moment that we're kind of in right now.
Now, we just heard a Republican congressperson there saying they'd appreciated a lot of what the president did, but we're going to have to move away from him personally in the future. But there are a lot of people in the Republican Party, or maybe who have joined the Republican Party because of Donald Trump. Their loyalty may be more toward him. How big a factor is that group of people? How big is that group of people?
Well, that's why you see people like Lindsey Graham, who, you know, had a, it at this point can only be called like a lover's quarrel with Donald Trump, where for sort of one day he said, I've had enough. And then almost immediately made up with Trump and traveled with him down here to Texas, you know, to attend that speech in Alamo, Texas. And a significant portion of the American electorate supports Trump and his policies. And this is the conundrum facing the incoming Biden administration. This is the conundrum facing politicians like Mitch McConnell, who, you know, waged and based a lot of their behavior in the last 4 years on this base of voters that was happening. You know, according to, I looked it up before I came on, according to 538 and whatever one thinks of polling, 42% of Americans are not on board with impeachment. Now that means 58% of Americans are on board, but only 15% of Republicans say that Trump should be removed from office. And so we keep seeing this huge amount of people in the Republican Party, Republican voters, who just stand by President Trump come hell or high water and don't seem to be willing to hold him accountable even for his worst acts as president.
In 2016, President Trump took the White House for Republicans. He won the so-called blue wall states, including here in Wisconsin. The House and Senate, Republicans kept their majority. 2018, House majority gone. 2020, White House gone along with the blue wall states. 2021 in Georgia, Senate gone now. Does that change what's going on in Republicans' minds when it comes to how they think of President Trump and what he led them to?
Well, it, you know, the Republican Party, in my study of them, it's very interesting what is happening to Republicans at this point, because, you know, you have to go all the way back to Herbert Hoover to find a Republican president who in one term manages to go in having the House, the Senate, and being the president. So you have all three parties that are with you. You, your party holds all three. And when you leave, none of them, right? You have to go all the way back on the Republican side to Herbert Hoover to see that happen. And so if we were operating in, you know, what social scientists like me call a fact-based world, you would say this is a terrible performance and he's not a good president. But when you look at the Republican Party and their feelings about Trump, you have a president, you have people who say, this is a great president and we love what he's doing. And so that leads me to suggest or to say or to imagine that what they really like is the bombast. And they like his pugilistic style that really takes it to the opposition and shouts them down. And you've seen a lot of chatter among so-called Republican pundits, the elite pundits, and even among some of the evangelicals I study, that they find Donald Trump to be, you know, have this sort of very manly and masculine approach to the presidency that they want to sign on to. And so despite the fact that you could say that his results in terms of the power or the powerlessness that he is leaving Republicans with, the results are not good, the approach is something they really approve of.
Talking to Stephanie Martin from Southern Methodist University about the future of the Republican Party and the role President Trump, when he's ex-President Trump, will or won't play in the days and years to come. Let's go to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Jack is with us in Elk Mound. Jack, hi.
Hi. My thoughts are the Republican Party should return to the roots of fiscal conservatism. And just conservatism in general, and local control. None of those things are true in Wisconsin. None of those things are true at the federal level either. I truly think as a Republican or as a former Republican, Trump hijacked the party. And what now we're seeing what's left of it, the pieces.
Jack, thanks a lot for calling in and sharing your thoughts on that. So, Stephanie, Jack highlighting the idea that, okay, there's a Republican Party with principles and ideology and thoughts on the role of government, and then there's Donald Trump, and they're not necessarily the same thing.
Well, you know, I'm one who always likes to look for slivers of hope and silver linings. And what Jack is pointing to, I think that was his name, right, Jack? Is that, you know, this is a deeply split party, and he's representative of that, because, you know, you have a big chunk of this Republican Party who argue that it's fine to undermine a free and fair election, right? And that they can come in and say that despite all the evidence, despite 60 lawsuits, that there was fraud in this election, even though election experts are saying there's no evidence of this fraud. But you had the reason that the election was able to still be certified last week was that you had local election officials really at you know, you had secretaries of state, including your secretary of state there in Wisconsin. You had heroic secretaries of state in Pennsylvania, heroic secretaries of state in Georgia, who refused at the local level, at the state level, who really had to stand up in almost every case to the president of the United States and say no. You know, we had a local election. Our local election was fair and free, and we are not going to throw out these votes. And so to a certain extent, you see local state governments standing up to the president of the United States and standing up to this movement. And so where it's easy to look at what's happening in the Capitol and see only despair, see perhaps some national Republican leaders behaving in ways that are gut churning. If you come back and you look at the local level, you see local Republican officials behaving better. Perhaps you'd want to see that on the Democratic side. You'd hope to see that on the Democratic side where that needs to happen. And so there are ways to see local politics working better. And maybe we can expand that out and get to that in other kinds of ways and other kinds of places.
Thanks for that call. We'll go to Chris now in Racine. Chris, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I used to be a Republican, and I think Trump took the party and made it into a cult. I don't believe it's a Republican party at all anymore. And I think that they need to totally divorce from him. And I think that what he did last week was criminal. And I think he needs to be held accountable with a full impeachment, and which I know he was, but I think it should be upheld. And I what I hear them Republicans saying now in the Congress is that, oh, well, we shouldn't impeach him because that will make people angry and we need to heal. And I'm going, and they'll be angry and violent. And I'm thinking, when did America become afraid of doing what is right and holding people accountable due to fear of violence? We need to stand up and not bury our heads and hope that he'll go away.
Chris, thanks a lot for that call. Stephanie, what is the equation facing Republicans as they look at impeachment, as they look at how to deal with the issues that Chris just raised?
You know, I think she is articulating something that a lot of people feel. You know, this is a no-win situation for the country. And from my vantage point, Republicans are really trying to figure out, a lot of Republicans are trying to figure out which side of history they want to be on. Because quite frankly, most presidents, their ultimate goal is to leave office with the nation better off than when they came into office. But Trump's legacy, and this is the legacy of running a sort of base-oriented presidency, his legacy appears to be cementing a more divided country where his brand of aggressive conflict politics is the new norm. And I think that's a very dangerous place for us to be in. And my hope is that as the Republicans find themselves in a position of being a minority party across all three branches, they will ask themselves if the cost has been worth whatever trophies they see in their trophy case.
Thanks for that call. We're looking at the future of the Republican Party after President Trump leaves office next week. Stephanie Martin is with us, professor of political communication at Southern Methodist University. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts and your questions. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about the future of the Republican Party after 4 years of Donald Trump as president. He's set to leave office on Wednesday. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Stephanie Martin stays with us from Southern Methodist University. Before we go back to our caller, Stephanie, you study evangelical movements in the country. Wanted to get your thoughts on where evangelical conservative voters, mostly white evangelical voters, are now, especially thinking about Mike Pence. With his selection as running mate, it was widely seen as a nod to those evangelical voters. They were looking at Donald Trump saying, he doesn't seem real churchy, not a choir boy, but Mike Pence is our guy. Now we have Mike Pence in a bunker, basically, as Trump supporters are attacking the Capitol, while the president is still tweeting attacks on Mike Pence for not trying to overturn the election. What happens now with those conservative evangelical voters?
Well, so conservative evangelicals are their own pickle to try to figure out, because on the one hand, they really like, you know, Trump's judges, the judges he's appointed, the way that he has said the right things about abortion and about especially religious Christian freedom. But on the other hand, they deeply disapprove of his behavior and they disapprove of the way he behaves personally. So it's really tricky if you get into the polling data, because on the one hand, they see him as being good on policy, and so they approve of that and they join his, do you approve of President Trump? Yes. But like, do you like him or do you think he's a good person? No. So that's the first thing. And so what I really think is that what they like is going back to the idea that he represents a kind of patriarchal, masculine president that is willing to say the things they think, right? He says the quiet part loud. And that's what evangelicals like in him. And I suspect that what they don't like in Mike Pence, or the reason they don't rush to Mike Pence's defense, is that Mike Pence believes the right things, but he is very milquetoast in his presentation, right? So, and it's been very interesting with Mike Pence, because he was, of course, a talk radio host who said, who was more incendiary in his presentation before he became vice president. So it's really interesting the way that Mike Pence has self-presented since he became vice president.
Let's go back to our callers now. Bruce is with us in Green Bay. Bruce, hello.
Good afternoon. I am a person who normally votes Republican, but did not vote for President Trump either of the elections, but I voted against his opponent. So you can take that for what it's worth. I believe that I agree with what your guest just said, that a lot of folks believe in his what he said policy wise, but that his rhetoric is simply abhorrent. And I think that having said that, I think it's time to move on. I don't think he should be convicted of impeachment. I think he should have been censured. That going on with this trial is going to interfere not just with the new president putting his programs in place, but is going to further divide the country. And, you know, if he's to be brought to justice, then, you know, the people who burned down Kenosha should be brought to justice as well.
Bruce, thanks for the call. We'll get more into the post-impeachment landscape coming up. But to Bruce's point, you know, he didn't vote for Trump, but he did vote against Donald Trump's opponents. Do you think there's a significant number, Stephanie, of people who still ended up checking Donald Trump's name, even though they didn't love him, just because they liked the Democratic candidate even less?
Yeah, so to me, so social scientists would say that's a distinction without a difference, right? So if you fill in a circle for Trump, then you voted for Trump, right? If he's saying that he voted for a third party, which I wasn't quite sure what he meant.
Oh, that's
then,
true. That's a possibility. Then
that's a different story. What I would say is that what we haven't talked about is that there's a phenomenon in American politics right now called negative partisanship. And negative partisanship is really important to understand if you want to understand the American political landscape. And what it means is that many of us are in a situation now where we don't really identify anymore with a political party. We say like we say sort of like the last caller. I don't like the Republicans. Trump doesn't represent me anymore. And therefore, I don't really identify as a Republican because this isn't me. But you know who I really hate? The Democrats, right? Or I don't really identify with the Democrats because, you know, look, AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, this, you know, she is so far left and that's where the Democrats want to go. So I'm not really a Democrat anymore. But, you know, what I really don't want? I don't want the Republicans to have power. And when that happens, when you really just can't stand the other side, that really works against compromise. It's like two parents who have a very acrimonious divorce. And so you don't, it's not that you don't want your kids to love the other parent, but when it turns out that they love you more, it makes you really happy, right? And so that's kind of where the situation that we're in right now with Republicans and Democrats, where we just really don't mind that the two parties don't work together, and that makes it tough to get anything done.
Thanks for that call. We'll go to Mike now in Verona. Mike, hi.
Hi. Okay, so I can totally agree with what you're just saying, but I am also I identify as a Democrat, and you know, I this is just an example. You know, I've heard a number of callers call in who are identifying themselves as Republicans and pretending like you know, this thing that is happening with Trump is totally outside of the Republicans elected him. They voted for him, and this isn't something that happened 4 years ago. This is something that started 20 years ago here in Wisconsin. It was Scott Walker. You know, it was the movement away from being inclusive, being accepting of other people, being a shared country, and moving toward being I'm getting what I can get when I can get it.
I gotcha. Mike, I'm going to jump in because we don't have much time left. But Stephanie, Donald Trump as a culmination of changes in the Republican Party, not an aberration, not something outside the thread of the Republican Party. What do you think?
Yeah, there's a school of political science that says that politics come in cycles, that there was the Roosevelt cycle, FDR cycle that lasted until Reagan, that we've been in the Reagan cycle, and that the Reagan cycle may be wrapping up with Trump, and we are entering into a new political era that we will see what happens next. So this is actually a great time to watch politics if you're interested.
All right. Thanks a lot for that call. Stephanie, very briefly, what are you watching for over the next week with this transition?
You know, Joe Biden really wants to get his agenda back into the news cycle. We have a new president who's taking office and no one is paying attention. And so, you know what? Donald Trump has been great for the last 4 years, 5 years at sucking up all the media oxygen in the room. And it's not a great news cycle right now, but Donald Trump still has all our attention. And I bet you Joe Biden just really wants us to pay attention to his plan to end the pandemic. So I'm watching to see if he manages to do that and get us to notice that he's about to be the president.
Stephanie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Stephanie Martin is a professor of political communication at Southern Methodist University. We talked to her about the future of the Republican Party in the post-Trump era.